Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Good race weekend, everybody. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Tap that app, Game Nashville app, SoundCloud, iTunes. This show is everywhere. Chase McCabe here with you at Chase on Game on Twitter. Always excited to be here and talk some NASCAR racing. Last week in Kentucky Speedway, what a fun time that was, right? For Martin Truex Jr., at least. We should really have a big three. It was a big one, then a big two, now it's a big three. Could there be a big four? We'll get into all of that. Plus, Larry McReynolds, longtime crew chief now with Fox NASCAR. Of course, he's been there for a long time, too. He's going to join the show. And then Ty Dillon, driver of the number 13 Germain Racing, the Geico Chevy. He will join us a little later on in the show as well. So loaded week, but we got to start things off. Martin Truex Jr., he does it again. His fourth win of the season, does that at the Kentucky Speedway. And, you know, I gotta say, when he was on the show a few weeks ago, I think he kind of alluded to this. I asked him, you know, if he felt now that he's kind of getting into the second half of the season, that's when he tends to turn it on. If he thought that that's when things were going to start going his way, he actually won that weekend at the road course at Sonoma. But this was his answer to that question.
You know, I think for us, it's just been a steady, solid season. You know, we've had really good speed most places. We've been off a few races here and there, but I think most importantly this year, we've had a little bit more up and downs. You know, we had four really bad races in a row where we got caught up in wrecks or blew a tire, and you know, that kind of set us back points wise. So, and also I felt like maybe one or two of those, we would have had a shot to win. So I feel like where we're at right now with the struggles and some of the things that are kind of the headwinds we fought this year, where we're at, I think we're in a really good spot. Feel like at any point in time, we can show up and win. And that's what we're going to try to do this weekend. So I think those guys have definitely been more consistent about leading laps and finishing off races. But again, we've had quite a bit of things bite us this year and we didn't last year. So just keep fighting through those. But I know we've got the team. We've got the speed. Our cars have been fast all year. And just, got to put it all together.
And I think he's won maybe two or three more races since that interview. Like I said, he won that weekend at Sonoma, and then he's coming off a win this weekend at Kentucky Speedway. So things have really started to go well for Martin Truex Jr. And, you know, earlier in the year, he did have some bad luck. But he has truly inserted himself into this championship. And I believe it truly is a big three right now. And Truex, to me, has the most momentum. Maybe Kyle Busch is a very, very close second. But he has a ton of momentum as they go in through late July into August. And before you know it, the playoffs will be here. So to me, Kevin Harvick kind of dominated the first part. And then Kyle Busch started to come in and do his thing. And now Martin Truex Jr. So I wonder, as Truex kind of continues and he looks at this, how he feels about racing against Busch and Harvick and truly being a big three. He commented after his win at Kentucky on the big three.
They got five wins. We got four. That's how it's played out so far. So, I mean, I think all three of us have great teams. Those two guys are great drivers. Obviously, I have a lot of respect for them. And it's pretty amazing to be a part of this group, honestly. I mean, I think when I was a kid and you seen Dale and Rusty and guys like that, Terry Labonte, and you had guys that just dominated and won everything, and you watching them, it was like, man, that's so cool. You know, they're heroes, and they're such a big deal. And to think that, you know, I'm one of those guys this year, and I guess last year too, is just, it's amazing to me. I still pinch myself. I still enjoy every win like it's the first, and I realize just how lucky I am to be in this position. So, I don't know. I don't think a whole lot about it other than that. Just try to show up every weekend and do the best job I can do for my team, because I know they're unbelievable and they deserve a great driver and they deserve for me to get the job done behind the wheel. So they help me be a better driver every single weekend. And, I just try to hold up my end. So so far it's been going pretty good, and hopefully we can keep it up.
A very humble Martin Truex Jr. there, and he's just that kind of guy. But he is. He's put himself into a great position now behind Harvick and Busch. Really, they just one win separates them, and Truex is pretty good at New Hampshire. So he's won there before. So if Truex can do back-to-backs, get back-to-back wins for the first time in his career, you know, he's right there with those guys, and it's pretty much anyone's race. So there's dominance. And I started off when we started the show 2 months ago. We're now in our 10th episode. When I started the show, I asked the question, because at the time it was all about Harvick, is dominance good for the sport? Is having one, two, or three guys winning half the races good for the sport? Truex answered that question.
I don't know. I really don't care. My job is to go win races. My job is to win championships. And that's what I'm here to do. So they keep changing rules. They can change things all they want, and we're going to try to figure it out. That's just what we do. So, you know, with that being said, you never know when it's going to change. I keep saying it, but I can't tell you just how difficult it is and how much goes into this. And, you know, we have 70 people on our team. I don't know. I'm just guessing, picking a number. If one of those people screws up, we're not winning next weekend. So it just shows, you know, what this, what kind of team sport this is, and how much it takes. And, you know, the sophistication behind setting these cars up and the simulation and our engineers and the job Cole does and, you know, all those things pulled together, it's crazy how good it's been working, and hopefully we can keep it going.
I think it's good for the sport. I know that you don't want to see the same guy win every week, but now you got three of them. There could be a fourth before the year is over. In fact, there's one guy you'll hear from in a minute that thinks he is the fourth in a big four. But look, it gets people watching. It gets people interested in the sport again, that you have three guys that could win virtually every week. It's nice when there's somebody else that pops in there. You know, you got a Clint Bowyer that's won a couple races. He's kind of in that mix. But now that you have Truex with four wins, Busch and Harvick with five wins, I think it's been exciting. I think that it has added a level of competition and excitement to this sport that they have been missing for a long time, and that this could truly be any one of those guys' championship to lose when you get into the playoffs. Now, could somebody else come in there that's gotten a win or gets into the round of 16, and could they play spoiler? Absolutely. That's what makes this format so great, that you can kind of have somebody sneak in there and take it. But the fact that you have these three guys dominating and winning the races like they are, it's exciting to me. I think it's great. So who is that fourth driver that I'm talking about? It's Kyle Larson. He was asked about it this weekend at Loudon, where he thinks he stacks up against the big three.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like our team, you know, if we got some wins, I would be considered right there. I mean, I think I'm fourth to sixth best right now, if you were to rank me. I think myself, Keselowski, and Clint Bowyer probably kind of right there. Blaney also. Clint's got some wins, but the rest of us don't. But I feel like I outrun Clint most weekends. So, I feel like I'm fourth best. I feel like we're close. You know, last week at Kentucky, I was able to pass all those guys, and we had our issues. So, you never know if I would have won last week, but, you know, we showed that we're getting better and better every week, and, you know, gave ourselves a shot up until our issues last weekend. So, just got to... I mean, I say it every weekend. We always get asked, you know, about, you know, struggling or whatever. But I feel like we're right there and we're getting better.
I think he is too. And if you go back several races, NASCAR on Fox, I think it was Darrell Waltrip that said during one of these races that we could be getting a preview of Homestead and the final four between Harvick, Busch, Truex, and Kyle Larson. And I think right now, even though when you look at the win totals, Busch and Harvick with five, Truex with four, Clint Bowyer is the only driver that has two wins outside of those three. And then Logano has one, Eric Jones has one, Austin Dillon has one, and that's it. Keselowski hasn't found victory lane yet. He's eighth. Kurt Busch, ninth. Kyle Larson sitting in 10th. Hamlin 11th, Ryan Blaney 12th, Eric Almirola, Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, and Alex Bowman wrapping up the top 16. Stenhouse is just on the outside looking in, but none of those guys have a win yet. So all it takes is a win to get into the playoffs when you have those three that are winning races. And I feel like Kyle Larson, it's going to be once he breaks through and gets one, there are going to be more to follow. It's just they've created some of their own luck. So I think that has been his issue. And right now, unless something changes in the next few weeks, Loudon could be the weekend where something changes. Truex has all the momentum going into late summer and on the home stretch as they get ready for the playoffs. That's the guy to watch. And it's just a repeat of last year. And that's kind of when it all started. It started to happen around, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago around Sonoma when he got another win. So Martin Truex Jr., the man to watch right now. I did want to hit this before we get to Larry McReynolds. Staying on the Truex conversation. Got to get a contract extension done so he can stay with Furniture Row where he's had the most success of his career, won a championship last year. He's been asked about it several times, but commented this weekend.
It's not really a pressing issue for me. I know what the team wants. I know where we're all at. And, you know, it's not like I'm nervous they're going to sign somebody else or I'm going to be, you know, searching for a ride. It's nothing like that. It's more just trying to focus on racing and feeling like it'll get done when it gets done.
When a driver says they're not worried about it and they're not focused on it, that means it's about done and none of us should worry about it. Look, they're not going to let him go. He has been the most dominant driver over the last two seasons, just when you put the whole picture together, and he's done it with a single car team. I know they had Eric Jones last year, but they basically are a single car team. They get support from Joe Gibbs Racing. This whole thing has worked out. They were on the cusp of winning with Kurt Busch when he was there, and then they had the one win a few years earlier with Regan Smith. So this team has had the most success it's ever had. He's had the most success that he's ever had. Martin Truex Jr. is not going anywhere. I can just tell you that right now. Don't you go anywhere, because when we come back, Larry McReynolds, longtime crew chief and longtime analyst on NASCAR on Fox, he is going to join us. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and streaming online at thegamenashville.com.
Artificial intelligence, AI, is taking over the world.
How can I help you today?
So put it to work for you.
Your appointment is at 9 a.m.
Ask Alexa to
enable 102.5 The Game.
Okay.
Once enabled,
Alexa, play 102.5 The Game.
The future is here.
Let me help you with that.
Ask Alexa to enable 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on thegamenashville.com and the app. Chase McCabe here with you and very, very happy to be joined by longtime crew chief now with Fox NASCAR, Larry McReynolds. Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chase. How are you, buddy?
I am doing awesome. I've been down here in Atlanta this week for SEC Football Media Day, so I've run into couple people that cover both NASCAR and college football, but it's definitely always exciting to have you on the show and talk a little racing. I want to start with someone that you worked with for a long time, and that's Davey Allison. And you guys did a piece on NASCAR Race Hub on FS1 last week that I thought was amazing. It was very, very well done. Featured Liz, his widow, and his two children, Krista and Robbie. And I did not know that Davey's heart actually saved someone's life after his untimely passing. But just share with me some memories of working with Davey and what he meant to you.
Well, when I moved to Robert Yates Racing at the early part of 1991, it was a career-making move for me. It put me on the NASCAR map. And Davey, a lot of people link Davey and I together because we're both from the Birmingham, Hueytown, Alabama area. But I really didn't know Davey, because about the time he was really getting started in racing and moving up the ranks in late models around the Southeast, I was already moved to the Carolinas to start my NASCAR career. I knew his Uncle Donnie. That's probably the only Allison I really had any kind of conversation with to any degree when I was still in Birmingham. In fact, Donnie is one of the guys I went to kind of get some advice when I got the opportunity in September of 1980 to move to the Carolinas. But it seemed like as we got into the late 80s and Davey was coming along driving that 28 car, I was with the 26 Quaker State car, we seemed to be parked together close to one another in the garage area a lot. They always park the cars in the garage, even today, by how they are in points, and it just seemed like that the 26 and the 28, well, they were always very close in points, so we were always parked right next to them on many race weekends. And Davey and I got to know each other, and we had some really lengthy conversations, and actually in 1989, Davey started kind of hammering on me about coming over there and working with him, and you know, I would have really loved to have said yes, and actually did at one point in late of 1989, but my heart just was with the 26 car because it's a team that I had kind of built from scratch with Kenny Bernstein as the owner, and my heart just couldn't let me leave, even though I knew it probably would be a great move for me. But finally, in the early part of 1991, Robert Yates convinced me to come over there. And Davey and I had a special relationship almost from the very beginning. I know the first time we went to Darlington, South Carolina to test before the first race we were going to work together, the first time he went out on the racetrack and came in after running a few laps and I lowered the window net and we started chatting with each other about the car, I knew right then this was going to be something special. I couldn't wait to find a payphone during the lunch break to call my wife Linda to tell her how awesome I felt like this was going to be. And Davey and I became really close friends. Our relationship went well, well beyond the relationship of just the driver and the crew chief. Our wives became good friends, his wife Liz, my wife Linda. Our families hung out a lot together. When they would come to Charlotte, they would stay with us. Both of our families, very devout Catholics. We would go to Mass together on a Saturday night in whatever town or city we were racing in. In fact, in the fall of 1991, Robbie Allison, their son, and my son Brandon, who were very close in age, we actually had them baptized together. And oh, wow. Linda and I are Robbie's godparents, and Davey and Liz are Brandon's godparents. And so, unfortunately, you know, we had a lot of success together. We won a lot of races. We won back-to-back All-Star races in 91 and 92. We won the Daytona 500 in 1992. In July of 1993, when we lost Davey Allison, yeah, I lost the race car driver that I was enjoying a tremendous amount of success on the racetrack. But honestly, the biggest thing on that day, July 13th, 1993, 25 years ago, I absolutely lost my best friend.
Larry McReynolds on the line with us from Fox NASCAR, and you're able to say that you were the Daytona 500 winning crew chief for Davey Allison, winning his one and only, and then in 1998 in Dale Earnhardt. How special is that to you that you were able to help two legendary drivers win the biggest race?
Well, I think whenever you're a crew chief and you win the Daytona 500, it's right there in my book, very even with winning a championship. It's the biggest race of the year. It's something that someone always wants to try to accomplish if you're in the sport of NASCAR. And to be able to do it once, I feel very fortunate. But to be able to do it twice, and with two drivers that were great race car drivers like Davey and Dale were, and it was their only win in the Daytona 500, and to know that I was able to be a part of both of those wins and that both of those drivers are no longer with us, yeah, I walk by my trophy case in my office every single day. Those two trophies are right there in the front, and there's probably not a day goes by that I don't walk by them, look at them, and kind of smile, just knowing they were special no matter what, but to know the two drivers I was able to do it with and that they're not with us anymore, it's something that I'll treasure the rest of my life.
I can only imagine. And, Larry, I want to, as we kind of shift gears here, I want to ask you about Chad Knaus. You were crew chief for a long time, and you crew chief many different drivers. Chad Knaus has been with one driver in the Cup Series his entire career, and that's Jimmy Johnson. He signed a two-year extension to remain the crew chief of the 48 car. How rare is that, and how amazing is it that they have been able to make a relationship last this long?
Yeah, it's unprecedented. You know, the longest I ever spent with one driver was probably was like with Davey or maybe with Mike Skinner,
right.
2.5 to 3 years. Now, I could see that if I look back, had Davey have not lost his life in July of 1993, he was in his early 30s, I could have seen him and I working together until he decided not to drive anymore or, you know, basically retired. I just felt like our relationship was that solid. And, yeah, for Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson to be together right now, this is their 17th season together, and at the end of this two-year extension, that will be 19 years. It's unprecedented. It's something you have to work at. You know, you spend more time with your race team and with your driver than you do your wife and your family. I kind of chuckled the other day on one of our Race Hub shows, and I said, shoot, most marriages in the country don't make it 19 years. So, yeah, that's totally unprecedented. And I know they have fallen on some bumpy roads right now. You know, they've not won a race since the spring of last year when they won at Dover. Hendrick Motorsports across the board went through a lot of major changes in their driver lineup and their crew chief lineup, the new Chevrolet Camaro. And they are certainly searching and struggling right now. But I just know Jimmy Johnson has not forgot how to drive a race car. Chad Knaus, who's a good friend of mine, we did a lot of TV stuff together back in the days of the Speed Channel. We did a show called NASCAR Performance every week on the racetrack. He's not forgot how to work on race cars and get cars to victory lane and win championships. And even though we've maybe kind of taken an eye off of them here lately, you better not take a complete eye off of them, because before you know it, you'll look around and they'll be back winning races and contending for championships. But I think that's really cool that, especially in the turbulent waters that they are right now, that everybody has faith enough in one another that they have re-signed Chad to mirror Jimmy's contract extension that goes for two more years after this year to the end of 2020. And really, I could see Chad Knaus still being at Hendrick Motorsports beyond that. Maybe not as a crew chief, but I could see Chad Knaus, the absolute perfect guy to take the ship and guide it over there at Hendrick Motorsports. I think he would be an unbelievable manager, president of Hendrick Motorsports, because let's face it, Rick is not getting any younger, and he's going to have somebody to take that ship and guide it in the distant future.
Larry McReynolds, Fox NASCAR analyst, former crew chief, on the line with us. And before I let you go, Larry, I do want to get your thoughts on they've tested at the Roval over the last few weeks at Charlotte. This is something that it's kind of a mixed bag with the drivers and how they feel about it, but they're trying to get it right. Just quickly, your thoughts on the Roval at Charlotte and how you think it's going to turn out.
Well, we certainly applaud Marcus Smith, Bruton Smith, everyone at Charlotte Motor Speedway for stepping out of the box and trying something like this. And I think I'm seeing a lot of excitement, a lot of energy from the fans because, yeah, it's totally different from anything we do. It's not a road course. It's not an oval, as they're calling it. It's a Roval with both incorporated.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a little bit tough out there during the testing, but I think by the time we get back there, in a little over 2 months, these drivers, these teams have figured out. And I think it's going to be something exciting and something we'll be talking about for a long time. And the biggest thing, it's the cutoff race and round number one. After that race out there on that Roval, four drivers will be eliminated and 12 drivers will move on to round number two to try to continue to chase this championship this year.
Larry, it'll be fun to watch, that is for sure. Hey, I enjoyed the visit. Let's do it again soon and enjoy the rest of the season.
All right, hard to believe. We're over halfway through this season, and I can see the intensity ramping up as we speak.
Absolutely. Thanks, Larry.
Take care.
The great Larry McReynolds joining us here on Chasing Checkers. I actually recorded that while I was down at SEC Media Day, so thus the noise in the background live from Radio Row. But always appreciate Larry for joining the show. I've had him on a couple times over the years and can talk NASCAR and a little bit of life with him as well. Just an easy conversation to have. When we come back, Ty Dillon, driver of the number 13 Germain Racing Chevrolet, he will join the show. Loaded show today here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app, and always on demand on thegamenashville.com.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you on thegamenashville.com, the app. You can find us everywhere, and pleased to be joined by the driver of the number 13, Ty Dillon. Ty, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting here at Loud, New Hampshire, getting ready to go out for practice here in a couple hours and get a great race weekend started.
Of course, Loudon this weekend for the Cup Series. But before we get into that, we got to talk a little dirt racing. I know the trucks were at Eldora this past Wednesday, and you ran in that. How was that?
It was awesome. I had a blast, and to be able to go back and run in the Truck Series, which is a lot of fun, and then go back to my roots, which is dirt racing. I had a smile on my face all day Tuesday and Wednesday. Had a lot of fun. Our truck wasn't as good as we wanted it to be as far as handling, but we still had a good run, and I had a blast the whole time, so that's all that matters.
With NASCAR having the new rules of that you can't run as many of the Xfinity or the Truck Series races, is that one when the schedule comes out, you're like, okay, well, we're going to check that one off. I'm definitely going to do that.
Yeah, pretty much. We try to circle that one. That's one of the first ones that gets circled as far as races outside of the Monster Energy Cup Series that I want to run and try to compete in every year. It's just so much fun, and it's a great race, as everyone knows who watched it.
So how fun would it be if they got the, and I know this is always the debate whenever they go to Eldora with the trucks, but getting the Xfinity cars or even the Cup cars one of these days on the dirt at Eldora. I know Tony Stewart has done a great job with that track and building it. Could you ever see it happening?
I think so. I mean, there's a pretty big push for it. I think the event's been so successful over the past 4 or 5 years that it has opportunity to spread. And now it's just kind of NASCAR's hand of what they want to do. And I would definitely be all for it.
And I know you and your brother have been successful there. So how did you guys get started on dirt?
We started out racing dirt late models and UMP modifieds. And we'd run anywhere from 65 to 75 times a year in those cars. From the time I was really about 16 till I was around 21, so got a lot of experience in that world, and that's where my background in racing really started.
Talking with Ty Dillon, the driver of the number 13 Germain Racing Chevy in the Cup Series. They're at Loudon, New Hampshire this weekend. So do you feel like that the dirt background has kind of helped you in other levels of racing? Clearly you have to drive the car differently, but it's so difficult, and you can see guys that, you know, are really good at it and some that aren't. Do you think it's kind of helped you in other levels?
I think so. It's just such a different aspect of racing. The weekend is so much quicker. You get maybe 4 laps of practice, 2 laps of qualifying, 8-lap heat race, and a 20 to 30 lap feature. And you got to be able to think on a different level to make sure your car is handling right. Everything just happens quicker. In those cars, the tracks are a little bit shorter and a whole lot more going on inside the race car. So I think it just kind of raises your reaction level and your thinking process, making everything a lot quicker. So when you get to the asphalt world where you have 2 1-hour practices and qualifying, then you have a, you know, 3.5, 4.5 hour race, it allows things to slow down for you so you can make better decisions.
Ty, how special is it for you to grow up in a racing family? Obviously, everyone knows your grandfather, Richard Childress, and the success that he has had with his team and with Dale Earnhardt, and then your dad's a racer, your brother's a racer, and now you're a racer. How fun is it to have the whole family?
Yeah, it's really cool to, you know, be a part of a sport where your whole family has been a part of it for a long time. And my grandfather started back in 1969 as a team owner, but he was actually racing a lot longer before that. So our family has a lot of history in the sport, and you know, just to be able to carry on that legacy of our family and being at the top level, and also have my brother at the top level is pretty cool. And not many people will get to say that their whole family was in a top level of any sport. So it's awesome to have that experience and to rely on as far as my family. And it's definitely a cool thing.
Clearly you're a competitor, and I love the competition between you and Austin, and you want to win it one day, but
How cool was it to see Austin win the Daytona 500 and be able to be there for that?
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, we've gone to Daytona probably every year of our life and either watched the Daytona 500, and now in the past 5 or 6 years, we've both competed in it every year. So for him to get in victory lane, and I've been in victory lane a couple times there when Kevin Harvick won, and then I was really little when Dale won. For him to be in victory lane this past year was really cool, and now I'm just ready for my turn.
Well, I think that time is coming. The number 13 Germain Racing Chevy, you're going to be driving that this weekend at Loudoun, New Hampshire. So Loudoun, to me, is kind of a unique track. It almost seems to race like a short track, but it's a mile. What is it that makes Loudoun so unique?
Yeah, it's got really long straightaways and flat corners, but it's still a mile, and it's pretty tricky to get through such these long corners. It feels like you're in the corner forever. So you really have to dial your race car in to be able to make it turn all the way through the corner and be able to get a long launch down these long straightaways. So it's a tough racetrack, and but it's always a very competitive racetrack. It's tough to pass, but you get to see a lot of good racing early on restarts, and typically late at the race, it gets really exciting. So hopefully everybody's going to tune in at 2 p.m. Sunday on NBC Sports Network, and hopefully we'll have a great race, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you get a lot of speed on those straights and then have to back it way, way down going into the corners, right?
Yeah, for sure. You're really carrying a lot of momentum into the corners. There's quite a bit of high braking, but then the corners are so long, you really have to be able to release the brakes and have a car that turns well to be able to continue to carry your momentum to the middle of the corner. Also being able to get turn and pointed for those long straightaways. The longer you can make the straightaways, the more you're in the throttle and the faster you go.
Ty, what has it been like for you as a guy that grew up, you know, racing with your grandfather and of course Richard Childress Racing? You got to come up through the Truck Series and Xfinity Series with that organization. Now you're with Germain Racing, and I know they have kind of an alliance, a technical alliance with RCR, but being able to help build that team and just try and go step by step to get to the ultimate goal, what has that process been like for you?
Yeah, it's been different. You know, I've learned so much. I think I've gotten a lot better as a driver, and you know, also gaining more appreciation for the sport. And we're growing for sure, and you know, we're working really hard right now to try to get our cars more competitive. We feel like we're a little bit behind, but everybody's working hard and doing their job as good as they can, and putting as much effort as possible towards you know, being more competitive and having a chance at winning races soon.
Ty, so this is the first time that I've had you on the show, and about a year ago I had Austin on for the first time, and he won that weekend. So I'm not saying there's any pressure. I'm hoping to give you some luck, and maybe you'll get your first win this weekend at Loudoun.
Awesome. Hopefully we go 2 for 2 with Dylan Brothers being on your show winning races. I think that'd be great.
Awesome. Ty, best of luck this weekend and the rest of the way, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Ty Dillon, driver of the number 13 Geico Germain Racing Chevrolet, joining us here on Chasing Checkers. Always appreciate when the drivers of NASCAR come on the show. And look, this is our 10th episode, and we have had quite the driver list. You can always go back to thegamenashville.com and check out old episodes. Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, just to name a few. Ryan Blaney. We've had several drivers join the show. But Ty, one of the young guns in NASCAR, only 26 years old. And look, it hasn't gone the way that everybody kind of thought it would as of yet. Now, I'm not saying that it won't. I'm thinking that it will eventually. Germain Racing is a team that's a single car organization. They have the affiliation with Richard Childress Racing. But, you know, it takes a lot of resources to have a successful race team. And so I think that eventually they could get there, or you could see Ty jumping over to RCR on a full-time basis, which I know has been batted around, but he signed a multi-year contract with Germain. But it's just going to take time and growth. Has one Xfinity win. He runs some of the lower-tier series, and I think that's going to help. But time will tell exactly what the Dillon brothers do in NASCAR's top circuit. Certainly, New Hampshire is one of those tracks that can produce some different winners. The plate tracks, you know, he finished sixth a couple weeks ago at Daytona, and I believe that might have been his first top 10 of his career. I have to go back and check that. But anyway, appreciate Ty Dillon
for joining us here on Chasing Checkers, Larry McReynolds, earlier in the show. But when we come back on Chasing Checkers, is it time to shake things up with a unique racetrack? I think you probably know which one I'm talking about. You'll hear from some drivers on that. Plus, we will set up Loudoun, New Hampshire. It's Chasing Checkers. Find us on iTunes. You can subscribe. You can rate it. We're also on SoundCloud and, of course, always on demand on thegamenashville.com and ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, Nashville, Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans insider, and the host of your favorite new podcast, Tackling Music City, here. Join us as we talk about all things two-tone blue with current and former players, football experts, and analysts from all walks of life every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on thegamenashville.com, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and every weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. Find me on Twitter at ChaseOnGame and also iTunes. Subscribe, rate. We're on SoundCloud and everything always on thegamenashville.com. So Loudoun, New Hampshire this weekend. But first, I want to talk to you about Eldora Speedway and changing up some venues in the Cup Series. Now, I know that they're kind of doing that with the Roval at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, but it's still using a lot of the big track. They've been testing here. We'll hear from Ryan Blaney on that here in just a second. But I think it's important for them to look at different venues for the Cup Series. Now, they've tested some things. They go to different places in the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. But what about the Cup Series? They've been running on basically the same tracks for a long time. You had Kentucky 5 or so years ago that they added to the schedule. You've had them go to multiple places that are going to the same track multiple times that they didn't used to. Obviously, I mentioned the Roval, but what about something like Eldora? What if they tried to race dirt in the Truck Series or in the Cup Series? I'd love to see it. I think it'd be cool to try. Maybe not as a points race. Do it as an exhibition to kind of see how it works. Maybe the all-star race. I know not everybody has a dirt background, but I think it would be cool for them to try. Kyle Larson, who does have a dirt background, who raced in the truck race this past Wednesday at Eldora, what does he think about racing dirt in the Cup Series?
I don't know. I mean, Tony's probably going to get mad, but I'd like to see it just stay as it is. If anything, you know, Xfinity maybe, but I wouldn't like to see Cup on dirt. I don't know. To me, Cup belongs on pavement and real road course tracks. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, if we went to Eldora, I'd be excited because I would be really fast, and I feel like I would have definitely the best shot to win. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I think it's we're fine not going there.
He doesn't know, but he does know. He doesn't want to go there. Look, not a lot of guys. You heard from Ty Dillon. Ty Dillon does have dirt experience. Austin Dillon, who's won at Eldora, has dirt experience. Not a lot of guys do. And, you know, I've seen Dale Earnhardt Jr. on Twitter. People have like, hey, what, you know, when are you going to race at Eldora? And he's like, I've never raced on dirt. That would be terrible. I would not know what I'm doing. So it's kind of like road racers, you know, guys that aren't used to road racing. And the first time they go there, they have no idea what they're doing. So I think it'd be fun to try, you know, as I said, for an exhibition race. I'm not completely with Kyle Larson on not doing it altogether, but you know, I understand where he's coming from because he kind of looks at it as he doesn't want a bunch of guys out there that don't know what they're doing with the guys that do. So looking at new places to go, and whether it's a dirt track, another road course, you kind of heard him give the shot there, a real road course. He's one of those guys that I don't think is thrilled about the whole Roval. But should they look at adding some new venues to the Cup Series? Denny Hamlin weighs in.
No, I think that new venues always add excitement. I mean, that's what really, in my opinion, boomed the popularity in the 2000s was, you know, going to these new racetracks. You know, Kentucky was awesome for the first time, and then it's just kind of it fizzled out, and it's still the same old Kentucky that it's always been. I think that, you know, there are really some great racetracks. You know, if you want to talk about road courses, there's amazing tracks just north of the border in Canada that are awesome. Montreal and you know, tracks that are made for road course racing. You know, the Roval's a little bit different of a beast because, you know, I don't know how much architect went into, you know, coming up with passing zones and, you know, the lay of the land and how blind it is in some corners. And obviously we know that attrition will be at a maximum in that type of race, but you just have to be on the good side of it. So it's certainly a wild card race, and maybe that's what the fans want. If it is, then we can, we will do that every week. But I definitely like the idea of going to new venues because there's always a level of excitement when you go somewhere. You know, Sonoma, we've all learned how to drive it, you know, for the forever that we've been there. And so it's just kind of, it's stale in the sense of, from a driver's aspect, you know, there's not much else we can work on. We know every little corner and crack of the racetrack, you know, but when we go somewhere new, you really see a broad, a wide spread of guys that figure it out early and then, you know, guys that struggle.
I hated when NASCAR did the whole 5-year contract with the tracks. I couldn't stand that because I want to see them go to new places. In fact, something that I've been wanting to do that I think I'm going to try on this show, we'll do it here in the next few weeks, is do my dream Cup Series schedule of some tracks maybe that they don't run at that they should run at, like Iowa. Iowa is one of those that I think is awesome. I would love to see them run Iowa. I think it's kind of got a Richmond feel to it, but it's unique. It's got its own character. I think they need to look at it. Look at going to new places. Find some tracks with character. None of these cookie cutter things. They're going to Loudoun, New Hampshire this weekend. I've always loved Loudoun because it's got long straightaways and then the corners are, it's kind of like a longer Martinsville. I mean, it's a mile track, but it races like a short track at times. That's unique. That's exciting. That's something that they need to do. And, you know, I think they're trying too hard with the Roval. You know, they're trying to create something that maybe isn't there. And I know Charlotte Motor Speedway is behind it, and they want to do something different with their second race, and they have the right to do that. But I don't want them to run the road course at Indy. I don't want them to run the road course at Daytona. Like, I just don't mess with the things that already work. Now, I could come on this show after they run the race weekend at the Roval and say that was the greatest thing that I have ever seen in my life, and I apologize to NASCAR for doubting them, that I think it would be great, or I think it's great. I don't know. I hear a lot of the skepticism from the drivers and kind of feel like they're not really feeling great about it, but they had the tests this week and last week, and so we'll see. But they need to look at some different venues to try and just continue to do things to get people interested in this sport. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. So we shift to Loudoun, New Hampshire, where, as I said, as I was in my last little rant, I'm a fan of long straightaways. You got to, as you heard Ty Dillon say, you got to really come out of the throttle to navigate your way through the corners. And if you make a mistake on those corners, then it is not gonna work out for you. But you look at the lineup, Kurt Busch is on the pole for this race. Martin Truex Jr., he's second. Kyle Busch third. Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney round out the top five. Then it's Keselowski, Jones, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez, and Chase Elliott rounding out the top 10. Some notables, the highest starting rookie is William Byron in 11th, and Kevin Harvick comes off 14th, followed by Clint Bowyer. Joey Logano, who really wants to win there, that's a kind of a home track for him, or is his home track. He is coming off 19th, and Kyle Larson, 20th. So what do we expect out of Loudoun, New Hampshire this weekend? I think a safe bet is to pick any of the big three. But Kurt Busch being on the pole is interesting because I felt like he's been close. I think all four Stewart Haas cars have been competitive. And the fact that you have Kurt Busch starting first, and then, you know, yeah, you got Eric Almirola back in 13th. little further down in the field. I still think that you could have Stuart Haas being competitive this weekend and could possibly have a different winner. I mean, I love the big three, as I said earlier in the show, but you could shake it up a little bit. To me, Kyle Larson needs to find victory lane, whether it's this weekend or coming up in a few weeks. I think Kyle Larson, to really be the fourth driver in a big four that currently doesn't exist, he's got to put some wins together. He wants to declare himself the fourth best. I mean, Clint Bowyer has two wins. He doesn't. And then there are some guys with one win, and he doesn't have that. So he's got to find victory lane. Loudon is a place that, you know, he tends to run well. So I think he could do that. Ryan Blaney is another guy that I think is scratching, clawing, knocking on the door, finished second last weekend. He's close to getting a win. So could it be, is it going to be Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, or Martin Truex Jr., or is it going to be somebody different? If Truex wins this race, it'll be the first time in his career that he's won back-to-back races. Starting on the outside pole, I think he has a very good chance of doing that. But we will see. I generally don't give a pick on this show because I'm usually wrong, and I don't really like to be wrong. I like to point out when I'm right. But I will always admit when I was wrong. So we'll see. This weekend on NBC Sports Network, Kurt Busch again on the pole, Loudon, New Hampshire. Great show. Appreciate Larry McReynolds for joining us. Ty Dillon as well. Always good to catch up with active drivers. And Larry, of course, one of the best analysts in the business. Love the crew chief mind. And talking about Chad Knaus signing his contract to stay on with Jimmy Johnson, the fact that they've been together as long as they have is just absolutely amazing. So you can go to thegamenashville.com, check all of that out. Subscribe on iTunes, rate it as well. And we do this every Friday afternoon. It comes out, and of course it airs throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game as well. Thanks again for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at ChaseOnGame, and be sure to check out new episodes. As I said, every Friday it's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.